guys, welcome back to U.S. Paranormal. You have Aaron and myself, Lisa, here. We're going over tonight the Occidental Hotel. Aaron, do you want to get us kicked off on that? And Aaron, for a little background, he's been there and has investigated there or has experiences. He didn't have equipment at the time, but had quite a few experiences. Am I right?
Yeah. Okay, so let's kick off. The Occidental Hotel is located in Buffalo, Wyoming. It's been around for just over 100 years. It was established in the 1880s. It was I think it was the Bozeman Trail that it was a part but it's down
there was freight wagons.
But it's off the base of Bighorn Mountain. And, I mean, famous people have stayed there, famous Western figures, I should say, to include Teddy Roosevelt. Figures like Buffalo Bill Cody, Calamity Jane, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Frank Canton, Red Angus, the murderer Tom Horn. It's pretty much a huge trademark for Central Wyoming, especially in Buffalo. It's one of the most iconic buildings. In Buffalo, Wyoming. It's extremely
active. I also
want to
mention Ernest Hemingway. He stayed there as well as the second president, but I'll have to look that one up and mention it later.
Yeah, it's very, very active. It serviced as a hotel and a bordello, so it was a whorehouse as well. There's a saloon attached. I believe the
saloon
was built.
I like how you say a bordello and a whorehouse. Isn't it the same thing?
It's the same thing. I said or a whorehouse.
Come on. Okay. I'm like, come on. Quit being politically correct.
I believe that the saloon was built on in 1908. But if you know any difference, please. Let us know if my dates are wrong.
Yeah, and there's a call-in number of 515-605-9328 if anybody wants to call in at any point during any shows. And I did notice that there was a couple that purchased it in 2008. Jackie and David Stewart became managing partners in 08, purchasing 100% of the property in 2015. Now, were they the couple and maybe I'm thinking of a different location, but there was one where they had actually won, and I thought it was this hotel, in a gambling, like they were gambling and won it that way.
I'm not sure. I know that it switched hands several times. So I know that in the 30s, it started to really lose a foothold because of the Great Depression. Then by the 80s, it was done. It was run down. It was dilapidated. It was just a total loss. And I know that in 1997, Dawn Dawson, she started to do renovations, and it took her 10 years to process.
Wait, what year was this?
I believe it was 97. It was procured by Don Donson. And because it was supposed to be torn down.
And today it's a museum, correct?
Right.
Or
and,
no?
And it took 10 years for the historic restoration. I mean, to the T, and it took 10 years. And then I can't remember. I know she got it into the historical registry, which saves it.
Yes.
And then there was a man who, his name was David Stewart. I can't remember which one. He assisted in the restoring of the north wing of the hotel. And then they started the live bands. I can't remember what the name of it. It's like the Jams or of the Occidental something. Anyway, that was in 2006. So and then it just kind of stayed steady for a little while, and then I can't remember. Something happened in 2008. I think that's when David and Jackie Stewart became the managing partners, right?
I'm trying to.
And they got
find
it at
100%,
but it was bought out in 2015.
You know, I lost that paperwork. I had it. Oh wait, maybe this is it. Because I had it, because that's the one where I could have swore that it was like the gambling thing that I was telling you about. I mean, I saw where it was bought out, renovated, and
yeah.
Like the bar back, like the bar in the back is like original, and they had started pulling out like the walls, and because they had put up like kind of fake walls to make it like more modern. So like the new people that took over started ripping those down, and so that way everything was original. I think they said the floor was original too, correct? You remember?
Yeah, it is. And so is the ceiling. And, I mean, if you step into the Occidental, it's literally like stepping into the Wild West of Wyoming, because they still have the it's furniture from the period, pictures on the walls dictating the times of the Occidental. The saloon itself, I mean, to include the bar, is all original. It's a beautiful hotel. It's beautiful. Even if it wasn't haunted, I would still say go enjoy it, experience it, because just for a historical, anthropological experience in itself, it's amazing to experience how they
lived,
how they slept.
And then, of course, the holes that are still in the ceiling from the gunshots from, you know, the fighting back then. It's just crazy to just really step back and really put perspective on it and be like, okay, you know, you could be sitting here and then all of a sudden there's just shootouts.
Right. Well, it was the West, so
yeah,
you get a little whiskey and a cowboy and they're always armed.
Absolutely. Now there was, you know, the ghost of Emily mentioned. A resident that they say never checked out. Have you heard of her, and did you experience her when you were there? I guess she was the daughter of a prostitute.
When we first entered the Occidental to check in, we were met by a young woman. I would say she was in her mid-20s, and she was very, very sad. You could tell that there was something going on with her lungs, and she was coughing. I mean, it was kind of, but we didn't get a name or anything. She was crying. I mean, that's really all we got. And we had a lot of experiences while we were there.
What was she wearing?
And we stayed in the
Bordello
suite. It was a white, I won't call it a nightdress because it was a little more fancy than that, but it was, so it was like a bodice top with a long skirt, but it was white.
And what about
it had nice
hair?
Little
color of hair?
Her hair was down, and it was a partial, so half of it was up and half of it was down, and it just went rose below her shoulders.
Was it light or dark? Or?
She was a brunette.
Okay, so that matches up with that matches up with
the Occidental. If you walk into the Occidental, I'll give you a kind of a floor layout to give you an idea. So as
you
walk into the front door,
you just described the ghost of Emily, though. I just want to let you know, like the reports that they're describing is her in a white gown and dark hair. So just confirming.
Well, either way, this is what we saw. We didn't get a name. I wish Star was on because she. I mean, we were really excited because it was. It was action right away. Matter of fact, we were on our way to see you, Lisa, remember, for our St. Padre Island Gulf of Texas trip, and we stopped there for the night, and that's where we stayed. And we had breakfast in their little restaurant, which is really good. But let me give you a layout, and I'll tell you how we met this person, this young woman. So as you walk in the front door, you're in this wide open lobby, and it's beautiful. There's pictures all over the walls. There's a piano. There's Victorian-style furniture, and there's a table, and then there's a bar window where their front desk is. And then there's a hall that goes to the left of it. And down this hall, there's several doors to the left, and there's several doors to the right. And as you get to the end of this hall, there's a room. And it's this small little apartment-looking thing. It has a small kitchen, a living room area that could be a bedroom, and then a bathroom. And we met this young lady in the lobby and followed her down this hall before we even checked in. So that's how active it is. It's right as we walked in, boom, there it was. And we didn't even check in right away. We just followed.
Okay. So, and I found on the wings, you know, how it was built on. So it started out as a cabin or barn, I guess you should say. And then they put
it was
the,
more of a barn.
There was an, how would you describe it?
Well, the original hotel, before they started doing the add-ons, I would describe it as a barn. The shape of it was a barn, and then they added on. I think it was two other sections.
Say barn.
And then created, or, I think so. Let me pull up the historical.
That's what I was smack you. That's what I said. No, so when they added on, it was 1903. For the first wing, and then that's on the right side, and then 1908 for that middle wing, and then 1910 for the left wing, if you're, like, looking at it. Yeah. And then it does talk about Don Donson, like you mentioned, buying the hotel. It doesn't specify the year right there. And I want to find, it says Margaret Smith ended up running the hotel for 58 years. That's where the two ranchers that I was telling you, I know I wasn't losing my mind, they got the hotel on a high-stake poker game. So in 1918, there were two ranchers. They were a father and son, John and Al Smith. And they won ownership of the Occidental Hotel in a poker game in the back of the saloon. And so they took over, well, the wife, she ended up running it for 58 years until she died at the age of 92 in 1976. That's how they, can you imagine winning a hotel through a poker game?
I don't know if I would want the financial responsibility of winning a hotel in a poker game.
Well, back then, it probably wasn't the value, you know. What year was that? 1918? Was that, that's close to the Depression, right? So maybe
the
value
was the Depression.
I thought it was a little earlier, like 20s.
It was the late 20s, early 30s.
So it may have still had value at that point. Yeah, and it talks about them ripping out the 10 ceilings. Instead of ripping out the tin ceilings, she covered them with false ceilings and walls and a coat of paint to modernize it. And that's where I was talking about the fake walls, how they put fake walls in there as well. But then later on, they had, you know, taken all that out to make it original. And in 2005 is when David and Jackie Stewart invested into the Occidental and continued more renovation on the North Wing. That's pretty much it on the renovation side of things.
It's a very confusing building, I can tell you that.
And you had mentioned Teddy, right? Herbert Hoover, it's like a tongue twister. President Hoover was the other president that stayed there. I was like, I know there was another president.
Not the vacuum.
You're going to talk tonight. Yeah. Another famous person. Yeah, it's quite interesting. And so what experiences did you have besides her? Anything else?
Well, so we had drinks in the salon. or the saloon. It's not a salon. It's a saloon. There is a difference. There is a difference.
We do need a salon now after the quarantine, though.
Right. And I need a haircut so bad. But so we had drinks in the saloon, and we had some dinner in there, and we played. They did a trivia game, which was really fun. But while we were in there, we came across, well, I can't say we, because Star doesn't really see anything. She just,
right.
She just asks me, is there anyone here? But there was a cowboy in the saloon, dressed darkly. He had a dark hat on, a dark trench coat. And I just referred to him as the cowboy. I don't know. I didn't get a name from him. I didn't get really much from him. He was just very broad. I think that's a good description. He was a broad-shouldered man, very, I almost said statuesque, but that's more of something that you would say about a woman. But he was a very larger man. He wasn't small, very pale, had a softer face, so it wasn't really gruff, not a lot of facial hair, just a very thick mustache and floppy ears. That's about it I could tell you about him. Didn't
ears,
say
is
much.
That what you
just...
said?
Yeah. His ears stuck out.
It's like
just
a puppy
a
dog or something. I'm like, okay, did I hear that correctly?
His ears stuck out a little.
We got
they were kind of,
we
I don't want to say jumbo ears.
Puppy
they
dog
weren't
ears.
So big. He had forward facing ears. And he just stood at the end of the bar. Mostly, and that was about it. I mean, there was just so much that was going on there. There was we stayed in the Bordello Suite, which is a completely separate area. It's closed off. It has a door. If I remember, it's three rooms in the Bordello Suite, and then there's a staircase that goes down into the Madam Suite, I think. What do they call it? The Madam's Hideaway or the Madam's Retreat or something like that. It was
the
head hookers.
Stuff went down.
It was the head hookers room.
Oh, okay. Now, so
okay,
if you rent the place out, do they let you do investigations there? And do you rent that specific area out that you're referring to? Like, do you get that whole area?
Okay, so as far as I know, because that's a Star question, she probably could answer that way better than I could. But I know that a lot of people have done investigations there, and you can pay to do an investigation there. I don't know how much it is for a night, but like I said, we were just staying there for the night, and because we're paranormal investigators, we were like, let's do it and see what we experience. We had no equipment because we were on our way to Texas to see Lisa. We had nothing.
Heck yeah.
We were on vacation. But because we're investigators is what we do, we wanted to experience it. I had never been into the Occidental. Star has actually investigated it before with her team, with her old team. And I don't really remember what kind of evidence they got. We don't talk about that with me because I like to be sterile. But we paid to stay. We rented out the whole Bordello Suite. I stayed in one room, and Star stayed in a room across from us, and we had a friend with us who stayed in the third room. And I did not sleep at all that night. The room I slept in, someone kept knocking on the door, and it wasn't a light knock. It was a huge bang, and it came in sets of four, and I woke up in the middle of the night to a woman in the room asking if I had my money ready, and I'm not anywhere near there. And then a man was yelling in the hall. It actually got so annoying and so bad at one point, I crawled into bed with our friend because it was so much. But it was a great experience. it was a very good experience. The next day we had breakfast and I told them about my experiences. There's a small TV in the room. I tried to leave it on all night to kind of die down the noise, and it would go off on itself. The banging
now, besides
starts
that
on
going
me,
off on itself, did you experience any pranks, like spirits doing pranks on you, besides possibly the TV?
Probably, because I turned the TV on to cut down the noise. There's a lot of chatter, and I don't like to be bugged while I'm sleeping. And the banging at the door was happening often. It was not like someone would bang and then they would go away. At the beginning, I thought someone was actually at the door, whether it was someone that actually worked in the hotel or if it was our friend or star. And I would answer the door, and then there would be no one in this. And remember, this is a closed-off hallway that has a door. And we had to have a key to get through this door. And this isn't like a key card. This is an actual key. So we had to have a key to get in, and it was closed. And it's just this tiny little hallway, probably about the size of it, like a regular home hallway that is, like you go down and you have two bedrooms at the end of the hall and there's a bathroom. It was very much like that, except it's just two bedrooms. And because there was wash sinks in the room and there was a bathroom adjacent, but it was a very small space, if you know what I'm saying. And then there was a door that led to the outside, to a balcony that had stairs going down. And we never opened that door. It was locked the whole time. So I'm banging on the door, I open it, no one's there. I go and lay down again, and the room is completely red. Everything in this room is red. The wallpaper is red. The bedding is red. There's, if I remember correctly, there was a small chair or it was like a small couch in the room, and it had red. Everything in this room is red.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm looking at their website, and there is like a red wallpaper on the back, like backdrop, back screen of their website. It's like an old-fashioned
really?
Red
it's
wallpaper.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a – all of their rooms
kind of
are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it was more like – what do they call those? It was like a – not like a Florentine or – but it was a nice pattern. But it was like just this red room. And so finally I got so tired of the banging, I just left the door open. I opened the door and just left it open. I had to prop it with my shoes because it kept closing. So, and then I would try to go back to sleep. And then the banging, even though the door was completely open, you could still hear this banging. So then I finally just got up and went into the end room to the end of the hall, which isn't that far away. I mean, you literally step out of this room and there's two doors in front of it with a little side table in the middle. And I just went into the room where our friend was and laid down in bed with her. And she claimed that she had been experiencing things as well. She heard a woman's voice. And then I got up and went into Star's room and I'm like, are you still awake? And she's like, I'm not sleeping. And so she was experiencing things. So, I mean,
did anybody get touched? Any, like, pulling on anything, hair, clothing, scratching?
Yeah, so the friend that we were with, she thought that I had crawled into bed with her once before. And she said I was half asleep, I was half awake, and she heard walking in the hall, and she thought I had crawled into bed with her. She said it was a very long, just by the way the body felt in the bed behind her, she thought it was me. And I'm like, no, girl, I haven't been in there yet. I just got in here. I'm like, I can't sleep. I'm getting bothered. And she kind of laughed it off, like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. And then I went in to see Star in the first room in the hall, and she was still awake, so we're all awake all night. And then we ended up driving to Texas the next morning. But so that was a long drive with no sleep. But it was a great experience.
Yeah.
There was,
I wonder how much validity this Emily has, you know, like how, you know, if it's true. Because, like, it says not only is she mischievous, but she likes to pull at clothing and touch people and stand at the foot of the bed and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I would definitely try to do some research. If anybody, so if you're listening and you've actually investigated the Occidental, let us know what you've experienced and if you've experienced touching or anything like that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to go back to some equipment and see what we can get on audio. See if we can get a name or anything, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely worth a look into, right? So we'll have to, even if Lisa can't come up, maybe Star and I can get a little group together and go up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe Jay and I can take a trip up once we get things settled here, because I am back to Lisa Lamrock. Those that don't know, TAF is going away. I just have to take out the paperwork side of things. Yeah, but I'm waiting until my flight back from Ireland because it's too much to do before then. But yeah, like once he's here and the house is refinanced and everything's settled down, I'm hoping that him and I can take a trip up and we can all like investigate that and a few other places together. That would be
nice. Yeah, I would love to take you to a couple of places up here.
Absolutely. And I found it interesting, like all the characters that were there. I mean, the most interesting one to me was Tom Horn. And it's weird because, like, you know, he's a killer, you know, he's a hired gunman. He, like, supposedly killed 17 people, convicted in 1902 of murder of a 14-year-old. But then he joins the army. And, like, when he killed that 14-year-old, it was just over something stupid, like a feud with a neighbor and a cattle rancher. But then, you know, he joins the U.S. Cavalry, sorry, and he starts climbing ranks. It's kind of weird. You go from bad boy killing everybody to they let you into the army or cavalry. It's odd. Like nowadays, you kill someone, you're not getting in. You know, they don't take criminals. You know how you got a messed ankle or messed up knee, you're not going in. So it's just insane to me, but I don't know. Maybe he's all reformed or was reformed at that time. that was kind of interesting.
He's definitely
to read
reformed
about.
Now. He hasn't killed anybody lately.
Yeah, well, because he's dead. But that was interesting. And then also he killed the second lieutenant in the Mexican army. As a result of a dispute with a prostitute. So, I mean, he killed a lot of people. And then he went and joined the army. I don't know. I guess at least he put himself to use. But any other known spirits that you know besides the Emily at that specific location? That's the only one that I've
the cowboy.
Yeah, you did say you mentioned the cowboy there. Where was the cowboy experience at? What part of the hotel was he?
Well, he was in the saloon.
She was in the back room. Okay. And
that's where the bar is? Yeah.
So if you go to the back area of the
main building, there's an entry into the saloon. And there's also a street entrance, but we use the entry into through the hotel. And he was in the saloon.
And were there any, like, odd smells or, like, cigarettes or perfume or anything like that that kind of threw off that you picked up on?
Yeah, there was cigar. And there was no smoking at the time that we were in there. But you could smell cigar smoke. Then when we were playing, so they do this trivia game, and it just so happened to be the night that we were there, and we joined in on we had our own table. I don't remember what our name was. It was something silly. But we sat on a back table in this corner, and you could really smell it, cigar smoke, and I mean, it was a very strong odor, and you weren't smoking in the bar. You could not smoke in this saloon.
Now, what about the museum? Did you get the opportunity to check that out? Was it worth it?
So
is it right inside?
The whole hotel is a museum.
Okay, so they, okay.
The whole thing. So as you walk the halls, they have cases along the hallways, glass cases with memorabilia and historical artifacts. And then they have a library, and you can go into the library, and they have some of the original books from the original library. They have historical documents in there, newspapers. So the whole hotel is one big museum.
Yeah. I wonder what you could get. I was just thinking, you know, I have a little cap gun that I use, but like with all the shootouts that were there, I don't know how many because
it's
there
so
was,
funny that you
I mean,
say
was,
cats. Because
why?
there was a cat in the hotel.
No, cap. C-A-P. Like a cap
no,
gun?
No, cat.
Like the...
No, cat. Oh, you said cat.
Yeah, a cap gun.
It's funny that you said cat, because there was a cat in the hotel.
Like a spirit cat or a real cat?
I don't know. I saw a cat in the hotel, and I asked Star, and she said there was a cat there at one point, so I don't know. But it was a tabby cat. So that's funny. There's another one. If it is a dead cat, it's roaming the halls of the hotel.
Well, that's something else you could try to get on EVP. But then also, like, places like that, I've done the cap gun and got, like, a yell during that, which was pretty cool. I haven't been able to get it again at some locations, but I try every time. So it'd be interesting to try there with the history and stuff. So I can't.
Yeah, like in the saloon?
Yeah. I mean, I bet there's a ton, not only of residual, but intelligent, you know, activity going on as well. Probably a good combination.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do see the pictures of the museum that you're referring to. I see the walls lined with photos.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole hotel itself. It's a hotel, but it's also a museum. So all the hallways have, like, glass cases. They have chairs. There are some rooms that are actually, like, gated. They have little ropes across them. You can look in, and they're completely modeled for their time, and there's like a mannequin in there. So, and then there are rooms that you can actually stay in. So the hotel is a hotel, but at the same time, it's a museum.
Now, have they confirmed or said there, you know, or has anybody said, hey, there's these specific rooms where somebody was killed, like say this Emily, where exactly she was killed in the hotel, or was it in the hotel?
No,
the hotel,
and
like,
that's a story, or that's information that Star would have to give you, because I don't get that information.
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
You know that, Lisa. I do my walk,
but
and then I give you the
it.
Information. Huh?
Yeah, unless you pick up on it, like looking at the rooms and going through, but you didn't pick up on anything specific in any of the rooms.
So we weren't allowed to actually go into the individual rooms, because we had the Bordello suite, and we weren't there in an investigative capacity, so we weren't going to be snooping in the other rooms. So the extent of my experience...
You weren't sneaking under any kind of
ropes? Right. We didn't go under any ropes, but there were other guests in the hotel as well, so we didn't want to interrupt their stay as well as our own stay. So just giving a little respect for that. We did pull out phones and take pictures. We had a digital camera that we took a little pictures with, but that's about it as equipment wise. We maintained the borders of the ropes and the museum areas, if you will, and stayed out of the other rooms because there were guests there at that time and we didn't know where they were staying. So if we just opened the door, and some poor guest is completely nude from a shower, and boom, there's Aaron and Star. I don't think that would have been very respectful. So Yeah, so we just kind of maintained our time in the Bordello suite and then around the public spaces of the hotel.
So now, did you get to experience the foamy mug or the old-time, is it called sassafras?
The sassafras?
That they have.
Yes, and I love a good sassafras. I'm a boy from the South, so I love a good sassafras.
It's like a plant. Is that correct?
So it's actually, sassafras is like root beer.
Okay. Because it looks like, I'm seeing it as a plant. Maybe that's how they make it, like part, they use that to make the root beer. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a drink.
Because it's a tree, technically. Native to North America and Eastern Asia.
But
it doesn't specify.
It's a drink. It was before root beer was even a thing. It was a sassafras.
Interesting. I was looking to see where.
And I'm not. I don't know about. I think the reason why it was called sassafras is because before root beer was root beer, it was sassafras because they used the root to make the drink. So
yeah,
I was just gonna say. Yeah, I don't know if later on it was called root beer, but it's sassafras. But it makes sense calling it root beer, right? Because it's made from the roots of the sassafras tree.
Right. That's what it mentions, the root, when I look it up. And I did not know that.
But it's
so there
good.
You go. So people that don't know what sassafras is, it is root beer. So now I'm going to start asking for I'm going to go to some local place and can I have some sassafras, please? And we're like, what? So, I don't think everybody
beer.
Knows.
Just give me a root beer.
Right. Find me a mug of beer or sassafras. And that's cool. Sit around and have you a sassafras with 23 bullet holes above your head.
Right. And an angry-looking cowboy sitting at the end of the bus.
Yeah, giving you the stare down. And Hemingway, didn't he sit there and just write for hours, if I recall right, when he was there?
I'm not sure.
I thought I had read somewhere where he just, like, sat and just read, or not read, but wrote, typed, and, you know, as being an author there, working on his book.
Yeah, I can tell you they've done an amazing job at keeping it very well maintained.
Yeah. I'm glad they kept it very original. Oh, I was just looking it up. So price-wise, and they even have a room named after him, a Hemington room. So they have, how cute. They have the President Hoover suite, the Teddy Roosevelt suite, the Bordello, Cowboy and Cowgirl Corral, the bunk houses, Hole in the Wall Hideout, Madam's Retreat. That's the one you were referring to.
What?
I've got a whole bunch, about 15 different ones. And it's not terrible, guys, as far as prices. If anyone ever wants to stay there, I mean, their summer rate, $150 a night from June to September. But, I mean, you get a couple people, that's, you know, not much. And winter rate's only $90 a night from September to May.
You know, and it does sound a little expensive, but it is well worth the money. I mean, it is an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to experience something paranormal, that is the place to go.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have to definitely take a trip up, all of us.
And Wyoming is known for its haunted hotels.
Oh, yeah, I've read that. There are so many that I've come across. I'm like, we got to hit like 5 when I come up there. Just like your trip down here, we got to have a week-long investigation up there.
Yeah, I love that trip. You know, my favorite place is still that
Yorktown.
It was that old Spanish mission.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought you were going to say Yorktown.
No, Yorktown, I loved Yorktown, but it was so tiring. I was so tired by the time we were done.
That's funny. I'm going to be going back just to do a photo shoot for the book that I'm putting out. It's going to be released in October about the doppelgangers. But, yeah, so we're going to go do that. It's like a 2 or 3 hour photo shoot just to get a good cover. And then we're going to bring in some equipment with us just to kind of record what's going on around us while we're doing that and see what we pick up on compared to last time. That'd be interesting. And those that don't know, that's Yorktown Memorial Hospital in Yorktown, Texas. And that's quite an interesting place as well. That it's a little pricey, but it's definitely well worth it.
It is. It's definitely.
Well, getting back to the Occidental, I really don't think I have anything more on it. We hit on the history and everything. It looks like it has a nice restaurant as well. Did you guys get to eat there?
We did. We had breakfast there, and it was, oh, the food was so good. And it wasn't expensive. It was very nice. If you're a tea drinker, they do hot black tea or they do coffee.
Now, it talks about special events. Oh, I guess because they offer like weddings and reunions and retreats and such.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's once a month or if it's once a week, but they have a live band. They do like a jam session.
Is it like time period music?
I don't know if you would consider it time period music, but it's definitely country, and the people bring in banjos and guitars, and they sing Western ditties and hoedown
music.
I
read somewhere it was like 1930s or 40s music, actually, now that I think about
it. Yeah, it's like hoedown music. So they're not playing like Clint Black or Trey Atkins or anything like that. No Reba McEntire at the Occidental.
No Luke Bryan is what you're telling me. I'm not going to get to hear
him.
No
Luke Bryan at the Occidental. I'm sorry.
Darn.
And they sing the little hoedown ditties.
So we can. I don't even know how you dance to that, but I guess we can figure it out.
A two-step, maybe. I don't know. Line dance.
You got me. I don't know about 1930s and 40s what they did. Did they have what are those poodle skirts? Would that be the what
no.
was poodle skirts and all that?
That wasn't that the 50s and 60s with the poodle
skirts?
Yeah,
you're probably right. I actually had those. My mother would put me in poodle skirts and we go to hopscotches. Is it hopscotch? Is that what it's called? Oh, my gosh. She had pictures, and it was ridiculous.
So sad. My mother used to put me in poodle skirts, too.
No, she did not.
She was weird. I'm kidding. No, she didn't.
And the saddle shoes and everything. And I have to admit, I liked the saddle shoes. They were kind of cool. But, so we would do our little dancing and everything. And then I deleted all the pictures. I think I've destroyed all evidence. Except for this, this here that we talked about, but that's fine.
Well, but I
no
guarantee
pictures.
Your mother has a picture somewhere I could find.
Oh, I doubt it. She's chunked everything. That woman, she don't keep anything. Even from our childhood, it's gone. I grabbed what I could, but, it's a long story, but she kept nothing. Oh, my goodness. Okay, sorry. It was like trying to mess up. I clicked on something I shouldn't have clicked on. That's it. I think we should probably call it a wrap next week, though. I did want to mention our upcoming shows so everybody knows what's coming up. Let me get that pulled up here. We have next week we're going to do the Baker Hotel in the town of Mineral Wells, Texas. And I'm bringing on Tony Stubblefield. And he, I guess you could say he did security. He worked for the city for a long time there. He, is the most knowledgeable person for that town. And he's the one that they would stick in the hotel, and he would wait for people to sneak in and then arrest them, you know. So he was kind of up on renovation and where they're at on that and the financing for the hotel, and he can tell you like the hottest.
Yeah, they're going to reopen it, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're lighting the bell tower every night just to kind of show, hey, we're renovating. This is coming to life. And, they've been renovating for a month now, but they said it would take, I don't know, 3 to 5 years at the most. It might have been a little less.
Well, I believe it. That hotel is so decimated.
Massive. Yeah, that too. Yeah, the mold and everything in there.
I guarantee the floors are falling through.
Mm-hmm. But it'll be beautiful. I mean, that would be the place to get married. That or the Occidental, but probably the Baker. I mean, that's just gorgeous to me. So
once the Baker opens again, we have to go.
Yes, absolutely. I would love the chance to
walk inside.
Yeah. Oh, the entryway alone is gorgeous if they keep it just like it was. And then, so that'll be May 13th because we're doing our shows on Wednesdays now. And then following that, May 20th, which you should be back on air with us that week, we're doing movies with ghosts. Remember ghostly movies? So, any movies that have ghosts in them, we'll discuss and go over, kind of like our movie reviews we did last season.
But not ghosts like Patrick Swayze ghosts, like actual ghosts that people have found in movies. For example, which will probably be brought up next week anyway, is the 3 Men and a Baby, the boy in the window scene.
Okay.
So things
we'll definitely
like
do
that. Not like ghost Patrick Swayze was a ghost in Ghost, you know?
Ghostly movie.
Yeah, so it'd be Ghost and the Wizard of Oz, the Hanging Man in the Wizard of Oz orchard scene, like actual ghosts found in movies.
Okay. I just want to modify this. And then the following week, May 27th, so far it may be modified, but at this point we're going to be doing Missing Newlywed from 191 at Old Faithful Inn at Yellowstone. And then June 3rd, Marfa Lights and Reef Reports. Aaron, you're supposed to be on that one. And then June 10th, Camp Lulu, Sam's, and the Crying Children. And then it just goes on and on. We have Sleep Paralysis, The Lady of White Rock Lake, which a lot of people in Texas are very, very familiar with in the Dallas area. We'll go over seances. There's a Ghostly Usher of Corpus Christi Center Theater that we'll probably hit on. There's a Haunted Lighthouse here in Texas. We could do astral projection remote viewing. Probably Miss Molly's Hotel. I've got that down for September 2nd. And then I'm looking into bringing Finn Schrader on. She's writing a book currently, and it's an investigator that Sarah and I have investigated with. That'd be one that I'll be talking to, hopefully, if she agrees. Bexar County Hospital, I think that's here in Texas. There's a ghostly nurse there. And then Angels will be one that you'll be on. And then I have also the end of the year, we're going to have Goatman's Bridge with guest Becky Vickers. She wrote a book on it, and I'm actually reading it right now, and it is really good. So she's, lives in the area, knows the history, has investigated there many times, so we'll be bringing her on as a guest, and I'm working on additional guests. So we have a lot of good shows coming up. A lot of good shows. You'll definitely want to
tune
in.
Lots of good things coming.
Yes, so tune in Wednesday nights. So far it's going to be 7:30 to 8:30 Central Standard Time. If we didn't modify that like tonight, we'll get that modified and you'll see that posted. Anything else you want to toss in there, Aaron?
No, please. If you have ideas for future shows, please add it to our comments If you have any more information you know or would like to add, if you've had experiences at the Occidental in Buffalo, Wyoming, please add it to our comments. We'd love to hear from you. And once again, we just love having you on our shows and listening to us. Sometimes just talking to ourselves in the void ain't enough.
Yes, and also you can reach out to us on Facebook. We have a page that's titled U.S. Paranormal. You can email us directly with the topic ideas that way, too, if you don't want to do it in chat or have trouble with chat or anything. So that's another way to reach out to us. And then we do have an email if you need an investigation or you want to discuss topics or anything. You can reach us at usparanormal.us@gmail.com. And I think that's it. So y'all have a good night, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, Aaron. I'll see you next week, too.
All righty. Have a good one. Good night, y'all.